Okay, good evening. Tonight, we are going to study the Lord's Prayer. See, I told you we were going to get back to that. It just didn't happen in Sunday school a month ago. It's happening tonight. So, we're going to start out, and I'm going to read you the Lord's Prayer. Before I start, how many of you have memorized this? How many of you have memorized the Lord's Prayer? Okay, good number. Let me read it for you. I'm going to start with the verse, and it starts partway through the verse. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Okay, how many of you would you say that's the way that you memorized it? Yeah, pretty close. It's like, okay, so what translation are you using? That's the King James Version. There you go. As we start into it, we're going to do a little bit of introduction. One of the first things is, we talk about the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer is recorded in two places. That I found was interesting. Second of all, if you memorize the Matthew passage, you'll notice not only did I switch some things around, but there were some differences between the two. That's instructive as we learn how to pray, because apparently the disciples asked twice, and he gave two slightly different answers. So we're kind of going to look through it, but I just, as I said, I thought that was interesting. Another thing was looking at, so is the Lord's Prayer a model prayer? Is it something that we're actually supposed to pray? Or is it something that we're supposed to look at and say, okay, I know that how that's supposed to work. When I was filling out, creating my resume to send to churches, I looked up model resumes. But I would never send out the model resume as my resume. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. It's a model. When you walk into Walmart and you want to look at a new phone, you look at their model phones, but you'd never take one of those because that little screen is plastic and nothing's going to change on it. You know, a model prayer is different than a prayer you'd actually pray. So as I was trying to figure out, so is this a model prayer or is this a prayer you'd actually pray? What I found out is it's both. It's something we can learn from, but it's also something that we actually can pray. In Matthew, he starts out in Matthew 6, 9 and says, "After this manner pray ye." Whereas in Luke, he says, in Luke 11 is the other passage, he says, "When ye pray, say." So it sure looks like he's saying, here's an example, and in the other one he's saying, here's actually something that you can say. Now, if you're going to say it, though, you need to understand what it means. Which is why we're going to look at it tonight, because it's not that it's so tricky as much as it's hard to remember what it's saying and why it's saying it. Because you might as well say it in Greek as in English if you don't know what the English is talking about. I'm not recommending you say it in the Greek. It just was the first language that popped into my head. So, we're going to look at, I'm going to kind of follow the Matthew passage. We're going to start out, it says, "Our Father which art in heaven." You know, he starts out in both examples talking about who God is. That's the first thing it seems like we should pray about. We should pray about God. Recognize his exalted status. He says, "Hallowed be thy name." You know, God has a holy name, and we should treat it as such. It pains me how many places, how many times we hear God's name taken in vain. Obviously, that is not what God's desire is, what Christ is teaching us to pray. We should honor his name. But he's not just talking about his name. He's talking about God's entire being. We should live in a way that brings glory to God, that shows that he is holy. We're Christians. We're supposed to be imitating Christ. Holiness obviously isn't the only attribute we can talk about with God, though. There are many other attributes that are perfectly fine to pray to God and praise Him for. You know, God knows our needs. It's interesting, in Matthew 6, 8, which is right before the Lord's Prayer, He says, "Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask." You know, God knows everything. He's omniscient. You know, that's definitely something we can pray for. Let's look at the next section, though. It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Now, I memorized this when I was in elementary school. I just always kind of assumed, you know, it just kind of rattles on, and hadn't really thought through. So what does "on earth as it is in heaven" talk about? Well, obviously it's talking about "thy will be done." But the more I studied it, so he's saying "thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, what will, how much of God's will is accomplished in heaven? Everything. You know, we should be praying that on earth, God's will is accomplished as it is in heaven. But as I was looking at, so how does the structure of this work, that's not the only thing it's talking about. Not only is it talking about God's will being done, it's also talking about the thing before it. It's talking about "thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." Once again, you know, we know what heaven is like. The Bible tells us. And we know that we're not living in heaven right now. But that's what we should be praying for. We should be praying that the earth would be God's kingdom as heaven is. You know, that influences how we live, same as praying that His will be done. But that's not the only thing it's modifying. When it's talking about on earth as it is in heaven, it's modifying also, "hallowed be thy name." There are three things that "on earth as it is in heaven" is modifying. It's also talking about "hallowed be thy name." And it's saying, "may your name be considered holy on earth as it is in heaven." Which, when I thought of that, when I realized that from the passage, it opened up a better understanding of what the passage was talking about. It opened up, helped me understand, as I'm praying, what to expect, what God can do. Now, we know He's not going to do it now, but we know there is a time in the future that He will. And that's something that we should pray, "Lord, let this take place." And we should be living in a manner that would allow it. We should live in a way that obeys His will in anticipation of His kingdom. So we've talked about how we should pray about God. Now we get to the good part. There's not only praying about God, there's also praying about physical needs. If we look at verse 11 in Matthew 6, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is our favorite one in the whole prayer. You know, we focus on this one all the time. Now, in Matthew and Luke, the phrasing is just a little bit different. In Matthew, it says, "Give us this day." In Luke, it talks about, "Give us each day." And the point is, give us the thing that we need next. You know, it's not saying, "God, let me win the McDonald's sweepstakes to where I can get fries every day for the rest of my life." You know, it's just saying, that would be bad, you know? It would not be good for health. But it is saying, "Lord, I need food for this next day, period. You know, I need food for the continuance of what I'm about to do next. You know, I would love to be able to know 10 years down the road how God is going to provide." The example prayer we have doesn't pray, "show us what's going to happen in 10 years. It says, "provide for us what we need right now." And you know, that's been a huge challenge to me as I have looked at this passage. It's not talking about just food. There are other physical needs that we have that we can legitimately pray for. But this textures how we should pray for that as well. You know, we shouldn't pray, Lord, give me good health for the next 10 years. But it's perfectly acceptable, Lord, give me the strength to do today what I need to get done. You know, give me the nourishment, give me the strength, give me the mental capacity to do what I need to for you today. I think many times, as I said, we overemphasize this one thing that we can pray and ask the Lord for because it's the thing we think about the most. You know, we are so focused on what is going on here and now that it is greatly emphasized in our prayers. I think the more that we think about God, the more we'll focus on the first point about praying about God. And it's almost a thermometer showing what our thought life is when we see what we pray about. You know, physical needs have to be there. If you don't have physical needs met for a couple days in a row, you're going to be in sore shape. But we should be praying more about who God is rather than just the food. He does say that praying about food is okay. We do have verse 11. And then we have verse 12. And forgive us our debts. I like this one. Did you know that national debt right now is over $18 trillion? Actually, I wrote this stat down a couple weeks ago. So we're probably over $19 trillion in debt now. You know, bummer. That's incredible. The individual person, the average in America, is that the average person is in credit card debt $16,000. If you include a mortgage in that, the average person in America has $135,000 that they're in debt. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, Lord, forgive us our debts? But we know that's not what it's talking about. And even if we could say, okay, Lord, forgive me my mortgage and everything else, and I'll forgive. I can't think of anything anybody owes me right now, but I'll forgive them, you know? We know that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a spiritual debt. It's talking about things that are owed because of offenses that are made. It's talking about sins against others and sins against God. Forgive us our debts, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses against you as we forgive other people. Wow. I mean, if you want to think about something and be more concerned when you finish thinking about it than when you start, combine verse 12 with verse 14. Because he starts in the prayer by talking about forgive us our debts as we forgive other people. Forgive us as we forgive other people. And then he goes on right after the prayer and says, now, of everything I've told you, I know you're not going to question what it means to pray for food. But I know you're going to question what it means to pray about forgiveness. And he goes right into verse 14 then and says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you also. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, we know from other scripture that our salvation is secure. But this is bad. And I want for us to think about just how serious this is. Because if it doesn't mean that God won't forgive you with salvation, I'm not 100% sure what it means that when it says God won't forgive us. But I do know that it's worth forgiving other people rather than finding out. Because we owe God a lot more than what anybody else owes us. So we're into spiritual needs. We're not talking about physical debts. We're talking about spiritual debts. What else does it say? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, we know from James that God does not tempt any of us, We know that only good gifts come from God, and yet we know that God knows everything that's going on in our lives, and we know God knows when we'll face that next temptation. You know, it's incredible how many times each day we have the choice, am I going to be selfish? Or am I going to choose to be selfless? Am I going to do what I know God wants for me to do? Or am I going to do it my own way? Am I going to spend time with God today? Or am I just going to sleep in and go on with the rest of my day? And you know what? I needed the sleep more than I needed God today. Whew. And yet when you first wake up, your brain's kind of thinking that, you know, it sure would be a lot easier to just spend a little bit more time. And, you know, you can even justify it and say, well, if I sleep a little bit more, it'll be so much easier to have a Christ-like attitude for the rest of the day. And yet if we leave Christ out of our day, how can it be Christ-like? And then the Matthew passage ends with saying, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And once again, we're talking about God. This isn't in the Luke passage. It is in the Matthew passage, which I just find wonderful that God gives us multiple examples so that we can see. It's not that you have to pray it in a sandwich prayer where you talk about God at the beginning and you talk about God at the end. You could probably go as far as to say you can talk about other things first and then talk about God at the end, because the example shows it doesn't have to be the same every time. But Matthew definitely does show us praying about God is important, and it would sure seem safe, since we tend to pray about physical things, to include God at the beginning and at the end, just to where if you forgot, it still was covered. Kind of like when you're praying for a meal, and you can't remember if you've thanked the Lord for the food yet. Maybe you guys never do that, but I tell you, it sure is safer just to pray for the food twice to make sure it gets blessed. But the challenge tonight is this. We know from God's word how to pray. Are we doing it? It's amazing, as I think through the prayers I have prayed recently, how self-centered my prayers are. How little praise of God there is in my prayers. My challenge to you is, you think about it too. Chances are your prayers reflect what's important to you. And chances are you, like me, when looking at how you pray, realize God should be more important in your prayers and in your thoughts. And I would suggest one of the things that's not in this prayer that is very legitimate to pray and should be prayed is, Lord, help me as I want to pray better, as I want to bring glory to you even through my prayers. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you that in your word you teach us even how to talk with you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that we're reminded that one day earth will be as heaven, that your name will be counted as holy, that your will be done, that your kingdom will be here, and we look forward to that. We ask that you'd give us the things we need today. Lord, we all need to drive home, and we pray for safety. Lord, forgiveness is so hard. You know that. You know the things that we struggle to forgive others about. And I pray that you would soften our hearts, that you would give us a desire to forgive. Lord, I pray that you would protect us from the temptations that we face, that you would make clear the way of escape. We pray these things in your Son's name. Amen.